Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It has been too long since I have actually recorded an episode. You know, we had the last two episodes. You would seemingly think I had done them recently as they went up, but I actually had them done in advance because I knew about my trip. Again, I hope you enjoyed the last two episodes. Specifically, I really hope you enjoyed this last ep with Brother Adam Thayer. I thought he did a fantastic job, and I really enjoyed the pieces that he read last week, especially Worshipful Brother Nick Johnson's post from the Millennial Freemason about the examination of these biblical passages. And if you haven't had a chance, please do check out www.millennialfreemason.com. That's two L's, two N's. He's got a great number of posts over there which have a distinct Nick Johnson flavor, and they always kind of hit home. Great job, Nick. Great job, Adam. Thanks again, and thanks for letting us read that, Nick. We do really appreciate it. This week on the program, we were going to have Frater O back on after a couple weeks of some vacation, but unfortunately, he has had a little run-in with some food poisoning, so wish him well. If you happen to talk to him, if you know who he is, that's great, and wish him well. Frater, hope you're feeling better real soon. Kind of a bummer we didn't get to catch up this evening, but all in due time, all good things come to those who wait, correct? This week, we have a great segment with illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison. We also have some good papers, and we've got some news, so we'll kind of get right into just the news really quickly. Midnight Freemason news. We've got a series of good papers that are coming to you all the way from Australia. Brother Wayne Greenlee is sending me quite a few cool articles. We've got a really good series that might go up soon, which would be an audio and a text interview with a Grand Master here in Illinois, as well as a couple different provincial grandmasters down in Australia. So we're going to see, compare and contrast, and to see what those similitudes are and what the differences are. Even though we're so far apart, we probably have tons of stuff that's the same, I would imagine. I have a really cool audiobook project that is happening, but it is not progressing as fast as I would like, but that is the norm with back burner projects. More on that when we do have some time. The Masonic Roundtable's got some great stuff coming up as well. We've got some great topics. We had a really good topic last week when we talked about catechisms and what they mean and why they were important. So if you missed it, I believe it's episode 126. It was really fun, and I had a lot of good conversation there, and for a change, I was the man in opposition. I was talking and arguing for catechisms to not be so stringent and not be so implemented or ingrained in the progression of degrees as they are. If that's news to you, there are jurisdictions around the world who don't require it, including the Grand Lodge of the State of Pennsylvania, which does not require any member, in order to progress through the degrees, to return a catechism or a memory work. They just wait the 1 month in between degrees. I gotta give a quick shout out to Brother Brian Shimian, who had a birthday the other day, so happy birthday, brother. And I had a couple emails which were really interesting as well, asking a couple questions, and I thought, hey, let's go ahead and answer those questions. So the first one that came up was a brother who emailed me, and he said, hey bro, I was wondering if Bob Ross was a Mason. I've tried looking, but I have not found anything. I was just curious. Thanks. God bless. God bless you too, bro. And Bob Ross. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking that sounds familiar, happy little trees. Happy little mistakes. This guy was a great painter, and he occupied the public access channels wherever you lived across the United States, and he sat there and he painted landscapes, and he showed you how to do things and kind of taught you how to paint from the TV screen. So, was Bob Ross a Freemason? What do you guys think? So, Bob Ross is an interesting guy, right? I mean, he was this iconic American painter, and he was this really super mellow guy. Always cool, always just the cool guy, right? So he was born in Daytona, Florida back in 1942. He was actually in the Air Force, didn't really enjoy being in the military, he said in an interview once, because they forced him to be mean. He seems like the kind of guy who would have been a really good Mason, but there is no evidence that Bob Ross was ever a Freemason. Maybe he was. Maybe it's something we'll never know, but brother, I'm sorry to report that Bob Ross, as of today, is not a Freemason.
So the first piece I have this week is a piece by past master Richard Vega of Prince Hall Freemasonry, FNAM. And it's published October 1st, 2002, and the title is The Voice of Freemasonry. Now he's got a little preamble here which he's kind of just talking candidly, which I will read as well. The Voice of Freemasonry. I greet you again, my brothers, with open heart friendship and brotherly love. I would like to first thank the many brothers who have called, emailed, and stopped by to talk to me about my last letter. It has made me feel that this revival in the uplifting of Prince Hall Masonry is on the right track. I do ask one thing, and that is that you share those letters with our brothers, but more importantly, read them in your lodges. If you would like, send me your lodge's address so that I can send one to it. I have done a lot of reading this past month on the subject of Freemasonry, concerning the vision that I have. The one thing I do know is that we all had or still have a vision when we became a Mason. I have tried to bring different views on this matter. Some of the books I read or reread have been The First Great Light by Reverend Raymond Vincent, The Newly Made Mason by H.L. Hayward, Black Square and Compass by Joseph A. Walks, Jr., and Masonic Thought for Each Day of the Year, compiled by Alphonse Sirza. These readings continue to refresh my thought patterns. In these readings, I found one piece that I thought you would like, especially with all that is going on in the country and the world. I thought this would refocus our priorities. So then the letter goes in, and he posts a piece by George A. Newbery, and it is called The Voice of Freemasonry. The Voice of Freemasonry is needed in the world today, and I believe we will all agree that it should be a far stronger voice and a more incisive and effective one. Freemasonry has something to say that a great mass of struggling humanity whose voices rise to the heavens from every corner of the troubled sphere. Fundamentally, all are seeking a better way of life, even those that speak in terms of anger and hate. The teachings of Freemasonry proclaim that better way, laying no claim to originality nor superiority of intellect. Its precepts are drawn from the noblest thoughts of the greatest teacher of the ages. Professing no particular creed, it teaches an unwavering belief in God. It looks hopefully to the day when all mankind will be one universal brotherhood under His divine fatherhood. It urges its followers to adhere to that new law proclaimed, love one another. It pledges its members to live moral, upright lives. Squaring their actions by the square of virtue, it seeks to instill in weak humanity the attributes of God. An all-embracing love, a devotion to truth, and exemplary character, it urges men in their dealings with one another to be just, fair, honest, tolerant, compassionate, loyal, doing each as he would be done by. Never in all the history of mankind has the world needed a strong voice proclaiming these attributes and these virtues, and the need for men to adhere to them if they would lead fuller lives, more than in the day in which we live. The things Freemasonry has to say need to be said. Few voices can say them more effectively than we if we have the courage, the devotion, and the will that characterized those who built this fraternity and bequeathed it to us. How can we make the voice of Freemasonry more effective today? Certainly not by speaking in more strident tones, not by filling the ether with our propaganda, not by seeking to drown out or still the voices of others. Such are not the ways of Freemasonry. But there are many things we can do. For the most part, they are simple things. Whether or not we do them and how well we do them will be the measure of our devotion to the craft and to the things for which it stands. The voice of Freemasonry can speak in many ways. Through its ritual, it can speak to the finest and noblest instincts that dwell in the hearts and minds of men. Through its deeds of charity, of kindness, and brotherliness. It can speak to the deepest emotions that well up from man's better nature, through what it is and what it stands for, through what its members are and what they stand for. It can speak, and speak most eloquently. The voice of Freemasonry, one of the many reverberating out into space from the peoples of our earth, speaking of belief in God, of the goodwill among men, of its dream of a universal brotherhood of men, speaking softly, humbly, but with the strength of deep conviction and resolute purpose, a voice almost lost in the fury of the din and the clamor of that great babble of Earth's voices, yet a voice that must be heard. For it is only as that voice and others like it are heard and can calm the fears, raise the hopes, and inspire the confidence of the many peoples compromising the human family that mankind can hope for an ultimate peaceful destiny. Again, this was by George A. Newbery. Richard Vega concludes his letter with the following words. We are facing hard times in this country, and we must bond together as brothers to survive whatever challenges may come in the future. We as Prince Hall Masons have a very major role to play in the country in ensuring the safety of our families, communities, state, and country. Our biggest challenge is the saving of our youth. Without them, our tomorrow is lost. We need to be on the forefront in the defense of all. We are our country's hope. Again, from a brother who truly loves Prince Hall Masonry and will live his vision. Stand and be counted. Fraternally, Richard Vega. So that was the first one. I've actually got two letters by this brother this week. This is a Prince Hall brother who, it sounds like he may have been a grandmaster. I don't know where he's from, but to anybody listening to this thinking, oh, that's Prince Hall Masonry, it doesn't apply, I think all you got to do is take the words Prince Hall out and just put Freemasonry. I mean, I could have read it that way too, and you guys all would have heard the same and felt the same value. But I did think that the letter was great. I thought that the words by George Newbery were eloquently put, and it was just a real pleasure to read. So next, we're going to go into this week's Masonic Minute, and then we'll be back with another piece. Stay tuned.
After what seemed like an eternity of petitioning, investigation, and waiting, my big day came. I was about to receive the first degree of Freemasonry. Apprentice? Isn't that what they call it, I asked. Entered apprentice, said my dad as we got out of the car. Sounds strange, I thought. Why don't they just call it apprentice? No matter. I figured I'd find out soon enough. I didn't know a single person in the lodge except for the men who had investigated me and the guy who signed my petition. And none of them would be at the ceremony. My dad didn't know any of them either, except the guy he phoned to set all of this in motion. Yet, as I saw later, they all acted like he was their long-lost buddy. Once they examined him and determined he was legitimate, that is. Interesting guys, these Masons. A gold embossed square and compasses adorned the plain glass door. I opened it to reveal nothing more than a long stairway. To the right was a chairlift. The door at the top looked as if it was 1,000 yards away. I took the first step. It would be too much of a cliche to turn that into a metaphor. I didn't know what to expect. I knew, however, Dad had done it and it seemed to be such a positive thing for him. I just told myself to enjoy every minute of it and soak it all in. And I did. My excitement grew with every step toward that door 1,000 yards away. I took that trip 2 more times. It led me to becoming a fellow craft and then to the sublime degree of Master Mason. With each trip, I felt the same. Today, the trip up those steps remains every bit as exciting. When I open that door at the top, I always find friends and fellowship. I also find memories of presidents, kings, and heroes. And I feel the presence of brothers who maybe weren't so famous, but did their part to make the world a better place, like my dad. I'm sure everyone who has taken that trip up those stairs felt the same way. Yet I wonder, why do I, after all these years, still feel that enthusiasm and others seemingly don't? It's a complex question, and I'm sure we all know some of the answers. But if we could completely figure it out, brothers, we'd wear out the hinges on that door at the top of the stairs. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
This is Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast. And once again, here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, as usual, those pieces are always amazing. Thank you very much, Brother Stephen Harrison. Steve is still working on his multimedia computer, so we have to take a break in the videos that usually accompany these fine pieces on YouTube. So until that happens, you'll just have to use your imagination, brothers, and I hope you enjoyed. Now, there may also be a time where these don't come out as regularly as every other week, and that's going to be due to the fact that Brother Stephen Harrison is actually under piles and piles of paperwork and sifting through things. He's writing his next book, which is transcribing quite a bit of information. And that's all I can say, because that's all he can tell me. So I'm looking forward to what he's working on. And I know if any of you have read his work in the past, he has the most interesting way of spinning history, even when it's not local to you, in such a way that makes it readable and exciting and interesting. So we look forward to it. This next one is another letter written by past master Richard Vega. And this one was written a few months before the other. This one is dated April 15th, 2002, and it is addressed to my many Prince Hall FNAM brothers. This one is called Sharpness. I continue my quest in the uplifting of Masonry in the year 2002. It is my personal goal to accomplish this. I'll be preparing a letter each month till the end of this year. Right now I have 70 brothers on my mailing list, and I have mailed the letters to 14 states, Korea, and Europe. I ask you to share these letters with your lodges and brothers. If there is any brother who wants to be on the mailing list, please have them contact me by email and address the subject Uplifting Masonry. There is no cost to anyone. The only thing it will cost is sharing your Masonic knowledge with others in the uplifting of Masonry. These past few days, my mind has been working overtime trying to come up with an answer to the uplifting of Masonry. One word comes to mind, sharpness. The dictionary defines sharpness as having a fine edge, abrupt, clearly defined, distinct, clever, vigilant, active. Professionals have to stay sharp, so they practice, train, and work hard to hone their skills. It's an ongoing process. It never ends, if you want to stay on top. Masonry is the same. If you don't stay active, you will lose your edge and become dull. In order to keep that in line with the goals to uplift Masonry to a new level, I ask you to remember or go back to your readings. Read the section where the secretary gives you instruction and asks questions in the preparation room before entering the lodge for the first time. The instructions and questions asked are a foundation in Masonry. Yes, any undertaking leads to all beginnings. We have to go back to our beginning in Masonry to hone our skills and get that sharpness back. Going back, you begin to find the little things forgotten, and goals begin to take clearer picture. When you begin this undertaking to be part of Prince Hall Masonry, you had a desire, a hunger to attain knowledge, but also to be a better man and belong. Now that you belong, you have to display yourself as one, not by your talk, but by your actions. It's easy to say you are a Mason, wear emblems, and act as if every word from your mouth is a secret. True Masons are on display each and every day, at work, play, home, communities, and church. We are the examples to our youth, the leaders of this country's future. People will know your sharpness in the daily course of your life, how you help the needy, the sick, hungry, lost, and I can go on and on. I would like to give an example that happened to me last week.
It was a job opening at my place of business to the overall supervisor in the store. I knew one of the girls that was going to be interviewed, as I was. This girl had a large family trying to buy a house and get financially stable. In order to qualify, she had to have a full-time job. When the main store manager was finished with my interview, she asked, "Was there anything I wanted to say?" I told her that if I had a vote as to who would get the position, I would select this other person. I told her why and that I meant it. The manager told me that in all the years she'd been doing interviews, never had anyone who was being interviewed recommended one of the other persons. She then asked me, was I a Mason? And I said yes, she had thought so, since her dad had been the Grand Master at one time for the state of South Dakota. She remembered all the great things Masonry had done as she grew up watching her father. The girl got the job, and I felt so blessed to have had that opportunity to help those I swore to as a Mason. I tell you that story not to shine, but to let you know that as we sharpen our skills, minds, and actions, Masonry will be uplifted, and we will reach our goals. I ask you to join with me and help to clean up our act and lodges. Set examples in our family lives, communities, jobs, and everywhere we are. We shouldn't ever forget that Masons and our lodges belong to the communities. Let our actions speak for us, so that our communities will help in the uplifting of Masonry also. Let us maintain our sharpness. Again, from a brother who loves Prince Hall Masonry and has a vision, we need to be one. Fraternally, Past Master Richard Vega. So there we have it, another great piece. If you just take the word Prince Hall Freemasonry out of there, it's exactly the same message. And it's exactly, both these pieces are exactly pertinent to Freemasonry even today. I find that the one thing that Masonry has through its ages, right, is that our problems are always the same. They haven't changed. You can read a paper from a Grand Master who's laying out solutions to problems that were from 1920 and are still applicable today. And what this Grandmaster, I believe it's a Grandmaster, doing the same thing. He's laying out problems and solutions by which they had problems in 2002. Well, the things he's talking about are largely still issues and I think are still absolutely pertinent to today. So I'd urge you all to be sharp in your actions. No Freemasonry. Go back and read the interrogatories read to you by the Secretary and ask yourself, are you in fact doing those things? And are you using the voice of Freemasonry? That is, when you go out, are you acting like a Freemason? Are you not being overly boisterous and things of that nature? My thanks goes out to all the brothers listening to the show. Really do appreciate it. If you do enjoy this program, please consider doing a donation through PayPal. You can find out how to do that on our website, www.wcypodcast.com. You can support this show that way by, like I said, giving a donation, whether it's 50 cents or $5. All of it goes back into the hosting and production of this show. In addition to that, we do have a sponsorship by Onnit Labs, where you can buy some great stuff like Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein. Alpha Brain is my absolute favorite. In the day and age of human enhancement, there are some great things out there. One of them is nootropic vitamins, which are basically vitamins for your brain. This is what Alpha Brain is. It's a nootropic vitamin. So you can check those out. You just have to click through the links on the website, and then you can use the promo code WCY at checkout. You can visit buybankersbest.com and use the promo code BBWCY357 for 20% off there. And I should remind you again, once you get on my site, WCYpodcast.com, you can find the hidden banner for King Solomon's Reserve Beard Oil. We ran out of it, I guess Levi, the owner of Banker's Best, ran out of it like as soon as we launched it. We had a great partnership with Levi because he's a Mason out of St. Louis and he's got a great business, and we thought, what can we do to promote and do a little something for our listeners? So we came up with an exclusive product, which was this King Solomon's Beard Oil, and it was loved by many, so many in fact that they're out. So he is restocking and remixing and making more bottles of King Solomon's Reserve. So once that's back in, you can be able to order it. So if you want to know the status of it, you can just go to the hidden link, because this beard oil is not offered by his website at all. You have to actually go to WCY to get the link, and then it takes you to a hidden part of the store for checkout. So check it out, and if you try to add it to your cart and it's not there, then it's not available. So it'll let you know if it's on back order or not. Another way you can support this show, of course, is through FreemasonryArt.com. Made in the U.S., made by a brother, unique products, unavailable anywhere else. Professional, fine art, amazing quality, and real lambskin aprons. That's freemasonryart.com. That's run by our good friend and brother, Juan Sepulveda. If you use the promo code WCY, you get 10% off, and they will send a little bit back to the show. All these places, the coupon codes allow you to get a little bit of a break on the price, as well as they take a little bit of the funds that they got, and they send them over to this show to help keep the lights on. So again, thanks very much. If you're looking to fund the show and get a little something cool in return, we do have our lapel pin. So our lapel pin sells for $10, $2 to ship anywhere in the United States or the world. It ships worldwide for $2. I've shipped them to Kosovo for $2. So thanks again for that. You can get that lapel pin again, wcypodcast.com, and just click on buy a pin. And if you already have a pin and you want an esoteric explanation of his signs and symbols contained thereon, I am updating the Buy a Pin page to have all that listed for you. Please stand by on that as well. If you enjoy these kind of podcasts, please do consider checking out the Masonic Roundtable, which goes live every Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central. I am one of the panelists. It's a good time, and we always have great topics for discussion. And lastly, please don't forget about the Midnight Freemasons, where we publish 3 articles every single week just for you guys, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This is the preeminent Masonic website with articles. Nobody else publishes that frequently with new content without taking a day off. We are always there for you, and so be there for us. How can you help us? Well, just visit the site. We had a great piece by Adam Thayer recently, The Perfect Margarita. After I read this thing, I had to go out and make a margarita. He did a great job, and he's got a great recipe in there for a real margarita, too. What does it have to do with Freemasonry? You'll have to go read it. It's absolutely awesome. I hope you guys have a wonderful time as summer vacation starts to wrap up and your kids are gearing up to go back to school. Some of them are already in school. We're starting to get back into our swing of things with the schedules of the regular portion of the year. And with that, continue to stay safe and vigilant and go to lodge, as Eric Diamond once said. But that's it, guys. I'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.